Welcome to Speak Up International with Rita Burke and Elton Brown.
It is such a pleasure to be having this conversation today. As a matter of fact, all of our guests inspire, educate, and inform through their stories. Today will be no exception. We will be talking with a woman who tells us that she lost her hearing when she was 4 years old. Yet, despite the challenge of losing her hearing, she rocked her academic journey. She has a degree in psychology and a diploma in mental health and addiction.
We're so glad to have you with us today. So how can we work together to break down communication barriers faced by the deaf community? I think that's one of the most important questions that we're going to ask you today. So I want you to have as much time as you feel necessary to answer that question.
For sure. That's a very excellent question. The first thing you can do is learn the basic ASL. Hi, how are you? Thank you. You're welcome. Even if you can sign your name, that will be super helpful as well. And second, if you can, sign up for an ASL class. There's a lot of affordable ASL class out there now that a lot of people can attend to. And thirdly, be patient. It's very important that we all be patient when we are working with someone or even being with someone that is hard of hearing. It's very important to be patient because not a lot of people don't notice that it takes time for a deaf person to progress hearing, progress word in their hearing. And as well, I would always recommend it to everybody is always do your research. It's super important to understand how is the person able to hear you? How can you communicate with them? And everybody is different. And that's one of my piece of advice I always tell everybody is that not every one person you meet is going to be the same thing as another person. For example, myself, who is a hard of hearing person, I know a little bit of ASL versus someone who knows completely ASL, but they can't hear. Do you think that me and this person, communication is the same? Of course not. Our communication is completely different. That person may be relied on lip reading versus myself. I'm also lip reading too, but that person may rely on hand ASL. Me, I'm vocal, so I can actually have a conversation, speak versus ASL. So I'm not fluid in ASL, not just that, but I did learn ASL when I was younger when I went to the deaf school. But unfortunately, because I was moved into a hearing school full time, I lost completely my communication.
So I hear you saying then, Kalina, that no two people are identical. So we must do our research if we're attempting to communicate with people who are deaf. I read in your bio that one of your passions is empowering the deaf community. Help us understand how you do that, please.
For sure. I first did that through my book. So my book is called Every Day I Am Just Deaf. You can see it on Amazon. And what I use in my book is it's a poetry book. It really talks about what it's like to be deaf daily basis. And I also wanted to empower young people or even just everybody in general to say, if Kalina can do it, you can do it too. It doesn't matter what abilities you have or differences you have. It doesn't mean you can't achieve anything in your life. And I spoke about relationship, school, now like simple communication. How did I overcome it, especially my mental health? My mental health was very big on my hearing loss. And I did trigger a lot in terms of anxiety. I had a lot of anxiety while communicating with someone who was hearing. But I talked about a lot in my book, how did I overcome it? And secondly, I do international speaking. I speak in schools, organizations, show others that if I can do it, you can do it as well. And what I do speak on basically is my mental health. And I feel like that's super important in the disability community because a lot of us don't have a lot of role models who is very open about our mental health and how do we learn how to cope and what are professionals that out there that we can go to. And there's a lot of lack of professional in the deaf community, unfortunately. And this is why the numbers about mental health is so big compared to any other community.
I think in some situations, the individuals with hearing disabilities are left out, not necessarily because people think, you know, that these people are crazy or defective in that way, but how do we promote a way so that all people are joined together regardless of their disabilities, whether it's hearing or else?
I would say it don't be afraid to ask a question. I feel like a lot of people in the hearing community are super nervous to ask questions. And I always tell people, don't be afraid because we will appreciate you even asking us. And second, always ask, what can you do to help them? Before you come on to, for example, a Zoom call, for example, a meeting, for example, a face-to-face interaction that you're having with the person, always ask them, what is it they're comfortable with and how can you help them? And believe me when I tell you, 90% of them will tell you what they can do and how can you accommodate them better. And sometimes, especially myself too, for example, I don't really say anything until someone asks, but I know that I need to get better at that. And that's something I'm also teaching other people. You have to say something because they won't know. And again, I keep telling, reminding everybody that they're nervous to ask us questions. So it's very important that we can get out there like, hey, by the way, I need this. It will help a lot. So I always ask questions, no matter how dumb the question is, you never know unless you ask. And I always tell people, the more questions you ask, the more education you're going to educate yourself about the deaf community. That's really what it's about. And I always tell people, there's no such thing as dumb question, right? You don't know. If you don't know that, just ask someone. Always ask. No matter how harsh the question may be, but just ask. Because sometimes when you look on social media, it's overwhelming. There's too many information. And I noticed that one person came to me, she asked me an advice on how to have a conversation with a deaf person that I think it was like her family members. And she looked up online and she thought it was the answer. And then she came to me and I said, that is totally wrong. You shouldn't do this. And it was so, it was really funny. And I said, no, don't do that. And she said, oh my God, thank you so much. And then I told her, ask your family friends, ask them. Don't just look up. Because everybody's different and everybody's writing is different online. You just never know. Everybody's different.
You lost your hearing at age 4. Talk to us about what that experience was like for you, please.
Oh, boy. Okay. I'm pretty sure a lot of you probably listening and wondering how did I become deaf. So I actually became deaf due to an ear infection. I went to daycare one day. There's an ear drop that was specifically prescribed by my doctor. My family told the staff members what to do with the ear drop. However, I don't know what happened myself because I was 4. They either, one, put in the wrong time, two, they put too much ear drop. So that same day, I actually became deaf. So that whole time when I was walking home, that's when I realized my hearing was dropping because I was actually watching TV at home. My mom tapped me on the shoulder and said, Kalina, I'm calling you. And I had no idea my mom was calling me. I jumped. And my mom looked at me and I literally told my mom, like, mommy, I can't hear you. And my mom said, no way. And so my mom freaked out. My grandma was a nurse at the time, thankfully. So my grandma knew what she was doing. She rushed from the hospital. She did all these assessments with me. And my grandma knew something was up. So she called my family doctor and I was confused, right? I was like, why can I not hear? What is happening? I hear my mom on the phone, upset, and I'm hearing my grandma doing all these weird things on her hand. I think we're all in the Caribbean language. And I was like, what's going on? And so I was so confused because I can't hear. And it's the sad part is I could not write. I had a 4-year-old to tell my family how I feel. I didn't know what to say. I was like, help me. And I remember saying that to my mom because I was like, help me. I can't hear you. And it was very hard to sleep that night right before I went to my family doctor. And I remember I sat down with my family doctor. He kept looking at my ears. And I was like, why are you putting the thing in my ear? What are you putting in my ears? And then I had to put it in a little mini booth where they do a hearing testing for me. And I was like, I don't want to go in there. I was very confused. I was very, very, very frustrated. And I was confused and lost. And so that's really what happened for me.
I noticed you are all over link. And every time I turn around, there's another photograph of you doing something, which is very encouraging. Can you tell us, I think you touched on it briefly, but can you tell us a little more about what it is that you do?
For sure.
As a career?
Yeah, for sure. So what I do as a career, so I am a life coach, which I haven't brought up. So I do one-on-one coaching with people who are young adults who have a disability and those who don't have a disability. My doors are open for both communities. And as well, I am an international speaker. So I do speak about mental health advocacy and as well the deaf ways to advocate for ourselves and as well what it's like to be a woman. So I talk about women entrepreneurship and as well. And also now I'm writing a second book, which I'm excited. So I'm actually writing a children's book for the deaf community, which I'm excited.
You are a busy young woman. Busy.
Yes, I am very busy.
It sounds like joyful busy, not just work busy.
Yes, exactly. It's something that I'm passionate about, something I really love, and it doesn't feel like work.
So why did you choose to study psychology?
Well, because I wanted to help some people, but I didn't know what it was. And I remember I was doing my research for a course called Careers in Grade 10 or 11. And they told us to look up our career, what we wanted to be. But the thing is, what I always wanted to be was become a doctor. So I remember, I know I couldn't become a doctor because of my hearing aid. And I thought that it would be discouraged to me that it wouldn't be the right fit for me. So because I thought that the stethoscope was going to be a problem for me to become a doctor. So I had to look at different ways that I can help people. What can I do? And then psychology came up, the first thing. And I was like, and I never knew the term psychology, to be honest with everyone. I was like, what is psychology? And so again, I had a little girl in grade 9, 10, don't know the real world. And so I was looking at it and I was like, oh, maybe this is something I can do. And I did more research and I did more digging. And then what I realized was that I was actually looking for a deaf psychologist. And I realized that there was none. And I was like, okay, I think this is the time for me to do it. And I did it. And I did so many great connections with everybody. And a lot of people were inspired by my work. And they said, we never met a deaf person who's in psychology. And I said, this is exactly why I went after being a psychologist.
That is absolutely amazing. Your contributions basically help raise awareness. Can you give us any stories of individuals, no names, of individuals that you have helped that have seen a betterment in their lives?
For sure. I did have a friend of mine. A lot of up and down with her mental health. And I remember I had to work with her in terms of coming up with tools that she can do to keep herself busy. And I feel like when we have our mental health, we're always stuck in our mind. And sometimes we need to be active. And I remember I had to work with her. And we did a couple work together where I would take her to the beach. And I remember I used to do that every weekend for her. And let her relax and just take a deep breath, think of everything. And then I told her to write anything down in front of her, like with a piece of paper. And I might write everything in her mind right now. And because she's relaxing, her mind's thinking straight. She's not distracted by anything. The ocean. The ocean makes us calm our mind and our body. And it was perfect for her. And she wrote everything down that was on her mind. And she said, thank you so much, Kalina, for taking your time to even help me with this. And I pushed her a lot to do a lot of things in terms of getting her license, going to school. It was just amazing to see how far she had overcome in her life just because of me helping her a lot. And and then she straight up told me, Kalina, why don't you become a coach yourself? Like, you are really good. And I was like, okay. And that's when I started to do it. And I helped a lot of people in general, especially like those who are really close to me. And I've seen a lot of huge impact I have. And the person dies.
So you do one-on-one coaching, plus you speak to groups for public speaking. talk to us about some of the groups that you have spoken with or spoken to or presented to.
Yeah, for sure. So I spoke to numbers of speaking groups speaking, but I will speak on the recent one I did for intenuing teachers for the deaf. It was amazing, fascinating, because I was actually teaching teachers how to work with a deaf student better. What are the tools that are can be used to help them better? And I also give them a lot of feedback and advice, and I explain a lot of my stories. And as well, we learned, I actually helped them to learn and understand what it's like to be in high school. And because for myself, for those who don't know, I'm only 26, so I did not graduate high school not too long ago. So I could simply help them to understand, okay, well, how does that student, what it really is it like to be in high school? So I was able to give them that peace of mind to say, okay, if this tool doesn't help, what else can I use to help the student? So I give them a variety of tools that could help the student. And it was very amazing. I got a great feedback after this one teacher emailed us, me and the person that coordinated, saying, you know, Clean the Story would definitely help a lot. Her book definitely helped one of the students, which was really great. And yeah, and then they said, you know, we're going to have you to come back to me. And I said, perfect. Thank you.
It appears that you are successful in everything you touch. And I think that is a motivating factor in you that anyone can truly take advantage of and use in order to self-motivate themselves. How do you help an individual who maybe they don't know what's wrong with them? I know that's not the right word, but they don't know. They know something is off kilter, so they need to talk to someone. And I'm assuming that they don't necessarily have to be deaf. Now we're talking about mental health. So how do you help one figure it out?
For sure. There's so many ways to help someone who don't know. The first thing I do is grab a piece of paper. All right, this is my favorite thing. I don't know why. I love it. It's my favorite thing ever. Grab a piece of paper. Write it down. Write down things. Well, actually, I make them do a T-chart. So one side is, what is it I'm stuck on? This side, what am I good at? Right? So this will actually help the client to understand what is it that they're really good at and what is it they're not good at. And this can actually clarify for the client what is it they're really stuck on so that the client can have a clarity of what is it they're stuck on versus what they're good at. Because this T-chart will actually help the client understand what is it I'm stuck on versus what I'm good at. Because that way, I feel like when we put too much things in our mind and don't write things down, and people, I learned this when I started my entrepreneur journey, is the value of writing things down. It's super powerful because you actually can see what is going on with your mind, what is it you're thinking about. And a lot of times people say, no, I don't want to write things down, I'm nervous. And I get that a lot. I'm nervous writing down cleaner because I don't think I want to face my fear, what I'm stuck on. And I said, you know what? How about this? Only write two for me. Two. Let's look at two. And people look at it and they're like, okay, I'm not overwhelmed. That's another thing too, is we get overwhelmed. We're thinking too much. We're overthinking. We don't understand what's going on with us. We don't know. And it happens to everybody. And that's okay. And I always just invite it that you are never stuck in life. If you are trying to find a solution of how you can solve this problem. And I always tell people, you have to chip the words. That's the key when you're working with someone who don't know what they want to do or don't know how to figure out their situation. It's the words. How are they using it, describing it? So that's what I do. I teach them the word that they can switch it to show the confidence and show like, okay, I think I can chip this word to make it look like this word. And first, it's looking at what they're good at. Like, well, if you can stuck in this, but we can shift this to this. How about that? So it's a matter of how you can make the client shift the word, basically. That's how I do.
I would benefit from that. I'll tell you that. That sounds like a wonderful strategy. Now, Kalina, tell us who or what is responsible for the woman you are today.
I would say it is my grandma, my mom, and my aunt. Those three ladies helped me so much to build my confidence in who I am today. You know, and a lot of times people don't know that, well, I'm pretty sure some people would know, is that I've been bullied a lot in schools. From kindergarten to grade 12. Yes, I know it's like, what? I've been bullied throughout my whole life in school. And it's the point where it's actually scary because I used to lie and think, oh, I'm sick. I don't want to go to school. And my aunt and I are not too far apart, which is very crazy. I think we're like 10 years apart. We're like 15, not too far apart. And so my aunt knows. So she's like, oh, she's not sick. She's making excuses to go to school. And I'm like, oh, no. So my aunt used to call my cell phone and be like, why are you not going to school? What's going on? And I told my aunt. And so she encouraged me to go to school no matter what did I have. She actually pushed me. And because also, too, my grandmother is an immigrant grandma from St. Lucia. So she taught me that lion and she told me a story of her with that. She came to Canada at 16 years old by herself. And she said to me, if I can do it, you can do it. There should be no excuses. You're born and raised in this country. You take advantage of what you can have versus what I can't have. And that was something that it would trust me. And my grandma passed away like before COVID. And that always touched me no matter what. And it's like, wow. And now that I'm getting older, as a 26-year-old woman, you have to be grateful for how far your family is able to take you. And that's something that I would never take for granted. And, you know, I know not everybody has a great support system the way I have. And so, but yeah, my family's the one that's responsible, to be honest. So
you're walking in the footsteps of some champion women, I'm hearing, or you're standing on their shoulders, and that's they're people that are exactly in your family. Wonderful stuff. Thank you for sharing that.
I want to go back to your paper system, which I think is excellent. When you're telling them to write things down, is that kind of sort of like you having them do journaling of sorts?
It is kind of like journaling, but because I just make them write two key points and then we talk about it. So I don't really do too much journaling. It's really dependent on every client. Every client is different. Some clients can write a bunch of things down. Great. I will make it into a journal questioning, right? If a client is not comfortable at all, who prefers two things, I will not push into journaling.
When you happen to be working with someone, how do you determine which techniques you will need to use in order to get that person to the next level?
For sure. Well, I work very closely with everybody, and I always ask open-end questions. I feel like if you don't ask a lot of open-end questions, you will not know where the client fits in your line, right? And for me, because I remember when I was in school, and I remember my professor always say, always ask a lot of personal questions to really understand what type of person they are. And because I study a lot of behavior, so I understand when I ask this specific question, it can result to this type of behavior and what tools I can use. So I always ask personal questions first because I do want my clients to get comfortable with me, and I do want them to feel confident that they can actually do the work that I'm asking them to do. So that's really how I get them and also figure out what tools that they can use. It's all about understanding your client 100%. If you cannot understand your client, then you cannot help them or even create a tool for them to understand.
So how do you believe your unique perspective can contribute to improving the mental health among individuals?
For sure. So before I started this program, my coaching program, I actually asked a lot of feedback. So I asked about 15 people for feedback. And so I actually really did my research. I study it and I understood what type of people I'm working with. I don't just work with anybody because if you just work with anybody, you're not going to get the results, right? So that's what I did. I make sure that I'm doing the correct one, ask them the right question, two, making sure that I am giving them an example before I even start working them. That's another thing I actually do. I say, hey, for example, what if we work on this? How would you feel? Before we even do any tools together, I show clients, here's the tool that we might be working on. How do you feel? And I'll tell clients, be honest and be open. Because the whole goal of my program is to help you become successful. It's not just me. It's not about me. It's about you. And so when clients give me their answers, I'm able to help them with the tool.
You know what you're doing. I'm not sure that I could say the same thing for me when I was 26 years old. So I will be learning a lot from you, Miss Galena Powell. I'll be learning a lot from you. Now, what kind of feedback have you received on your book? And tell us a little bit more about the book, please.
I got a lot of great feedback on the book. However, I did got a lot of negative feedback from parents who didn't understand where it was coming from. However, it's very funny because I actually just got a recent feedback on an adult who is deaf. And it was very fascinating to hear her review. And she said, I understand why parents are frustrated regarding to cleaning this book. However, parents, you're not deaf yourself. You will not understand your child's truth. And it's true. You cannot understand someone's shoes unless you've been through it. And I went to the school, for example, I went to the school in Hawaii, school for the deaf. And I remember these kids came up to me and they read my book. Almost 100 kids came up to me. And I just started crying. And they're like, and they're going 12. And like, you know, your book would touch me so much. I can relate to you. This is amazing. Thank you so much for writing this book. And then I got this bad review on Amazon from a parent. And I was like, this book is needed for every child. It's not about you. And I feel like some parents need to take a step away and say, you know what? I can't relate to my child because I'm not deaf. And so that was the review I got on my book.
You can't please everybody. You can only think about the individuals that you have reached and have made their lives better because of it. So tell us a little bit about the Deaf Queen Boss.
I get this question all the time. So I know I'm very big on personal brands, and people think, oh, you should have a nickname for yourself. And I was like, okay. And so I knew I had to come up with something unique, something different. No one ever heard of. And so I remember me, my sister, and I, my little one, her and I had a big piece of paper writing a bunch of, I knew I wanted something queen in the name. I wanted queen because I know I'm a queen in my community. I know I can uplift my community like crazy. And so I wanted something queen. And then my sister's like, why didn't you put Deaf Queen? And I'm like, oh, it's a little short, but I want something a little bit classy. And, you know, and so my sister, and I was thinking, boss. I'm like, oh, Deaf Queen Boss. And I'm like, oh my God, I love the name. So that's literally how I came up with it. There's nothing fancy behind it. People always ask it. I'm like, no, I just made it up. And I just said, you know what? Let me just give myself a nickname. So that's what the Deaf Queen Boss came from.
It's beautiful. It's kind of trendy too, eh? So yeah, when I want to come up with a name, I know where to go. I'll ask you and your sister to help me with that. Okay?
Yeah.
So then, Kalina, what would you say is the best piece of advice you have ever been given?
Oh, I got this great piece of advice from my grandma right before she passed away. She said to me, at the end of the day, God is there for you, but you have to live your life to the fullest, and tomorrow is not a promise. And that was the best advice I ever received, and I live tomorrow like no tomorrow.
So how do you encourage individuals with disabilities to use their voices to address their challenges and support one another?
The first thing I always tell them is start small. Don't go big. The reason why I said that is because it takes time and to build that confidence to get yourself out there. And secondly, don't be afraid to use your social media to promote anything that you like, because social media can be a beautiful thing and can be a negative thing. There's a both way for social media. But I always tell everybody, especially all the disability community, especially individuals on MAT, they all ask me the same question. How do I get myself out there? And I said, start small. What is your goal? What is your why? Why are you doing that, right? You need to have a very strong why. And I always tell people, use your social media, go on podcasts. Podcasts are a very great way to educate people because we still need more voices in the disability community. And I always give them an example. Myself, I'm like, look at me, right? If you would have met me, it would have helped you to increase your confidence. And also, it will actually help another person who needed your voice. And I always tell them, you never know who that one person needs you the most. And I didn't realize how much people I touch when I started all my platforms. I really, truly didn't. And I was like, oh my God, it touched me completely because this is what I meant to do. I really want other disability community to speak up and use social media. And I always promote the products or even go on LinkedIn, support them. And like, hey, how can I support you? Would you like us to do a collaboration so we can put everybody in all in one room? That'd be very cool if we did that. So that's really what I do to support and my advice for individuals.
At the beginning, you mentioned that there's another book in the pipeline. Talk to us about that, please.
So the another book, it's going to be a disability book, not just a deaf book, but I'm also going to make it like a little children. I don't know exactly what I want it to be about just yet, but I do know I want it to be a mixture of different disability children in the book. And I wanted something like, I don't know, like there's a lot. I wrote like 3-5 different things I want the book to look like, but I don't know yet. I wanted something to be empowering for the young children to know that we're all the same. So that is my goal for my children book.
There are so many individuals with disability, specifically hearing disabilities, that may not have the funds to get the help they need. How does your organization help individuals that find themselves in that situation?
So what I do is I actually come up with a pricing that's affordable for my clients. I do suggest it, a very affordable pricing for everybody. I do not let anybody out that door just because they don't have the fund. I'm very flexible with everybody that I meet and for them to understand, because I know what it's like not to have funding, especially as a disability person. Like, it's so hard to find a disability professional. So if someone comes to me and says, you know what, Kalina, I have, for example, $100 a month I can pay you. Can you do that? I said, of course I would do that. Not a problem. However, I would tell them as the year goes, it will increase. So that way there's no surprises for the clients. Because at the end of the day, and a lot of people don't know this, that a lot of disability income, it's not always great. It's what they can do. Because of myself, I know. And I don't want people to feel left out just because they do not have money. And that's something that breaks my heart. Because I've seen a lot of disability person myself who cannot get the right support because they don't have the right funding. And so, yeah, that's what I do.
Let's suppose you were walking on the street and you run into a young woman. Let's say she's 12 years of age, and she realizes that you are deaf, and she too is deaf. Have a conversation with her, please.
Oh my God. I actually did have this story before. You guys probably won't know. This actually happened to me before. So this is a very interesting. I used to work at Canada's Wonderland. A little boy approached me, and my hearing was showing. My hair was in a ponytail. It was a hot summer. I was like, oh my God, my hair is so hot. And that little boy came to me and he said, oh, you're deaf too? And I said, yeah. Are you deaf too? And he's like, yeah, look at my hearing. I'm like, oh my God. So I'm always like playing all these little kids, just so cute. And the mom came and I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, your child came to me, you know, to talk about my hearing aid. And the mom said, wait, you're deaf? And I said, yeah. And the mom was furious because she never met a deaf person in the hearing community. And I was like, really? And she literally said to me, the fact that you just did that to your hair, you're going to make a change in the world. I can just see that. And I was like, oh, I love that. And she was just so sweet. And I was like, oh my God. And then the little boy had that color hair and it was so cute. And I showed him mine was pink. Mine was pink, actually. And they go, you have a pink one. It's so cool. And it was just super sweet. It's literally the same thing how if that 12-year-old girl came to me, I would literally have that great conversation with her. And if she asked me for advice for anything, I would give her my business card. Or even if her mom is there, and I'm like, hey, listen, I have a one-on-one coaching. If you want your daughter to be coached by me, we can do it together. Let's not make your daughter suffer.
That just goes to show you how true that saying is, their strength in numbers. So I'm sure I can see the young girl's face probably just lit up when she realized that there was someone else that had the same disability as her, but living their lives to the fullest, which gave her hope. How do you give individuals hope who may see themselves as hopeless?
Okay. That's a very good question. I get that a lot. People always ask me, how do I do it? Especially if someone who don't have hope in themselves or they don't have support, like their family. So usually what I do is I always invite them different resources. The one, I I ask them, what is it that they're interested in? What is the hobby? Because a lot of times there is a networking event they can go to. Usually the community, especially the community center for the deaf, they do have a gathering for people who are hard of hearing, who are looking for friends. I refer them. Also, as well, I refer my clients to join a lot of Facebook groups to meet friends. You never know. And as well, I will always make sure that my clients have access to resources in their home, by the home, because that's just super important that we make sure that every client is very close to the home, especially any community center, because I need to make sure that my clients are okay by themselves, especially not by far from home. So that's what I really do for the client.
I'd like to hear more about the bullying that you experienced. There is a lot of bullying in schools, even today. And recently I heard even at post-secondary facilities, there's bullying. Yeah. Talk a little bit, if you're comfortable, please, about your bullying, being bullied experience.
For sure. I had a lot of bullying experiences. I had two. The first one is from high school. I had a guidance counselor who did not blame me to the point where she, quote, forgot to put in my grade in for post-secondary. That's bully. You don't believe your child is not capable of going to university or post-secondary. And the point where I had no idea until I got three males saying, we could not accept you. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And so I was crying and I called my grandma. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, I'm not going to university. I was freaking out. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? And so my grandma said, okay, take a deep breath, go to your counselor and ask them, what is this? So I did that. I was not mad. I was crying. And my guidance counselor just looked at me like it was nothing. And I was like, and I literally almost lost it. And I called my mom. So my mom just spoke with it, actually. So that did not look good on my guidance counselor. So my mom didn't show up. My mom called the principal, actually. She didn't even call my guidance counselor. She said, that woman should be fired. Because how are you not putting a kid grade in, right? So I told my guidance counselor, what is this? My guidance counselor, oops, I forgot you have two last names. I've been in this school for 4 years and you're telling me, oops, I forgot you have two last names. So I said, no. And I never done it for myself before. When I tell anybody, I never did. I said, miss, this is BS. I need to get into something. What is it that you can't do that now I'm stuck? And then so I told her straight up, you need to figure out what am I doing after high school? And I give it to her and I said, you need to figure it out. And so I guess after the conversation I had with her, I called my mom, and my mom called the principal. The principal was devastated because she feels embarrassed. Like, what do you mean? Like, she can't get into no poke secondary. So my guidance counselor called me in the next day and she said, you know what, Kalina, you can go to college, but the next semester. And I said, no, that's not where I wanted to go. I wanted to go to university. And she said, well, then you have to wait a whole 4 year. So literally, I was not able to go into university until the following year. And yeah, it was heartbroken. I was devastated. And the second story is my first year in university, I was in a music class. And I remember I showed the professor my accommodation, because every first day of class, you're supposed to show your professor accommodation, letting them know you're deaf, and letting them know that there might be a note taken in the classroom out of respect. Why just that? My music teacher did not accommodate me at all where I failed. And so what happened was he kept assigning me a listening test. And I said, sir, I told you I cannot listen very well in the classroom. He said, well, I don't know. He said something about my hair. He's like, oh, but you can hear me in class. But I'm like, that's because I sit in the front. But I can hear you. And so what happened was all these listening tests, I had four different listening tests, and I failed all four of them. I did. And so I went to my disability counselor the second time I failed, actually, the second time. So my disability counselor, she was emailing him, no response. The second email, my disability counselor did not, like, she did not plan. Like, she said, I'm going to get this guy to read the messages. So finally he answered the messages and he said, oh, I would not appreciate if you wouldn't keep emailing me. So my disability counselor, excuse me, you failed your student twice and she came to you. She's done. What is your problem? And he's like, well, if she failed all four of them, she can just do the listening test at the final exam. I was like, what? So my guidance counselor told me to keep taking the courses and let's see what happened. So I was devastated because I was like, what if I fail this course? And then what? That's a waste of money. So very interesting thing happened. So I did end up failing the course. My disability counselor took it to the department, took it to the head of the university. She was not playing. She said, this is unprofessional. That's one, two. No accommodation was taken action. Nothing at all. And my disability counselor fought for me really, really hard to make sure that grade would drop out of my transcript. And she did it. And she did it. And that professor now is suspended. Apparently, I heard he was suspended after a lot. And he's been doing disgusting to students. And yeah, literally, I've been bullied twice in post-secondary. Well, in high school and university.
But when I asked you about bullying, I thought you would have talked about students and your peers. I didn't know you would talk about the adults that are in positions of power. Isn't that fascinating? Thanks for enlightening our listeners on that one.
You're welcome. I did call bully, but not a harsh bully. But, you know, people pick on me down, but it wasn't harsh as an adult. It was like mentally draining for a kid who has to go through, even though we have an adult to look up to. And it's like, especially in high school, we look up to our guiding counselor. And now for me, I don't. And I do have a funny story for you guys. But probably 2 years later down the road, my high school saw my profile and they asked me to speak for my school. Yeah. Yep. And guess what?
The same guidance counselor?
No, a different one. So she's a different guidance counselor reached out to me. And so I walked into the school and she asked me, would you like to see your guidance counselor? So my daddy was asking up. And I'm like, oh my God, I hope I want to see her. I just don't want to yell at her. I don't want to. So my guidance counselor looked at me. Her mouth dropped. She's like, is there a speaker in here? I said, yes, I am. How can I help you? And she just said, wow, I didn't know. And then she apologized to me right there. And she's like, I am so sorry what I did to you. And then she said, Kalina, after you left, I actually did have a grade 9 student who was also deaf. And because of your experience, I never did it to him again. And I said, yeah, don't doubt a kid's benefit. Don't doubt the kid's belief. Don't doubt it. And I told her, you hurt me a lot. You shouldn't be hurting a child like that.
Well, I'm glad you had the opportunity to meet with her again so she could see that in spite of what she did, she wasn't able to stop you. Hence, Kalina the Unstoppable.
Yeah.
I like that.
Thank you.
I want to thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. And we were able to listen to your story, the obstacles and challenges that you had to face, the way that you took those challenges and turned them into something positive where you are able to help individuals with hearing disabilities face that challenge and to prepare themselves for a full life. Mental health is also something that's very important to you. And I love your technique of having them write things down on paper so that they can actually see it for themselves, what the problem is, or at least come up with the trend to see how it's all connected together so that they're able to pull themselves, as it were, by their bootstraps out. And also the strategies and the technologies that you're able to use in order to help individuals with disabilities. And I think that combination is a winning one. I want to thank you so much for being with us. And I'm sure I'm going to see you over and over and over again on LinkedIn, which I have to admit, every time I see a picture of you, I have to smile. I mean, it's this very heartwarming. And we both are looking forward to having you back on Speak Up International maybe a year from now. And I'm sure you'll have a ton of other stories to tell us in your journey. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. It was a delight to have you on Speak Up International. And we often say to people, if you have anything exciting that you want to share, let us know. We'll have you back.
For sure. And one last thing I do want to share with everybody who is listening is that life is too short. You do have to live your life to the fullest. And again, like I said, tomorrow is not a promise. You have to live your life. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Speak Up! Exclamation Point International. If you wish to contact Ms. Kalina Powell, please leave your name, your email address, and the reason why you wish to contact Ms. Powell to her email address, tyeshiak1@gmail.com, or you can DM her via LinkedIn. Are you interested in the opportunity to be interviewed and have your cause promoted by Speak Up! Exclamation Point International? We invite you to connect to us by sending a message that includes your name, company or organization name, the valuable service you offer to your community, and your email address to info@speakuppodcast.ca. Worried about your confidence as an interviewee? Don't fret. Speak Up! Exclamation Point International can provide you with the necessary training so you shine during an interview. To receive training information and a 10% discount about the Speak Up! Exclamation Point International Podcast Interviewee Training Program, email us at info@speakuppodcast.ca. You can also reach us using Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. To connect to our podcast, use Spotify or your favorite podcast platform and search for Speak Up! Exclamation Point International. You can also find our podcast using our web address, www.speakuppodcast.ca. Our logo has the woman with her finger pointing up, mouth open, speaking up. At Speak Up! Exclamation Point International, we aim to inspire, to inform, and to educate.